Text 42. Došár etáj kolá gnanam. Varna sankara karakai. Utsa dyante jati dharma. Kula dharma scha shashvataha. Došaj paisač folt etaj oldis kulagnanam of the destroyers of the family varna sankara of unwanted children karakai which are causes Utsadyante are devastated. Jati Dharma, community projects. Kula Dharma, family traditions. Cha, also. Shashvataha, eternal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Purport. Community projects for the four orders of human society combined with family welfare activities as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatana Dharma or Varnashrama Dharma are designed to enable human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatana Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in that society, and consequently, people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. Such leaders are called blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. Hare Krishna. So we're in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and this section describes Arjuna's reasons for not fighting. So sometimes even Sankirtan devotees, they have this, they tell people, this first chapter, just skip it. You can, if you don't know who these people are, you just go to the second, start with the second chapter where is the actual philosophy. And in some way, it's true. For example, if you don't know who is Karna, probably this will not change so much for your spiritual understanding. But in other way, this last part of the first chapter can be quite important in understanding what's the position of Arjuna and what are his arguments, and because and what is his more or less consciousness. So Arjuna gives some reasons here, which might be same reasons we use for not doing our duty or not fighting. His duty is to fight, our duty might be something else. And we talked, and one of these reasons given here by Arjuna, these reasons we'll see in the next text, they are not actually bad reasons. It's just somehow they are on a certain level of consciousness, certain level of advancement, and there is something superior. There, it's not bad, but there's something superior. So here, Arjuna gives in these few verses, he gives the reason what will happen if the elders of the families will be killed, what will happen, who will be in charge of protecting the society, who will give the instructions of the society. Because in the traditional Varnashrama system, The point is that the elders should guide the others. Their qualification is not so much that they are elderly. It's more or less that they are wise. Somehow they should go together. But it's not always the case. But the point is that the elderly who are supposed to be wiser, even maybe 50 years ago, they were. You go into a village, there's some old wise person. There's always some old wise person. So the point is that the elder people will guide society. Of course, what's the point? What's the purpose of this guidance? We will get to that. So this level, that family is important, and it is important to have respect for your parents and for other people. There's here we have Bhishma and Drona, who are on the level of their spiritual masters for Arjuna. So also this argument about family. So family and Varnashrama is on the level of what is called karma kanda. So first idea of respect, having some respect for others, it's already good. You know, like in the current society, nobody has respect for their parents. You know, like. Who cares? No, like some many people don't have some anymore this culture. Of course, there are some points to this. For example, also this elder person, they need to have some qualification. Rishabhadev says in Srimad Bhagavatam has this famous verse that someone. Gurur nasasyat svajanan nasasyat pita nasasyat jananan nasasyat taivam natasyan napatishya sasyan namochayadyat samupeta miritium. So this means that one who cannot deliver his dependents, there's very high standard. You have to give them liberation if you take this kind of position. So one who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So this means that the father has the position of a guru in the family. The mother also has the mother usually first guru for the child. Who else? The husband also has the position of a guru for his wife. This is how traditional Varnashrama is organized. So this means someone who is in this position also needs the qualification to be in this position. And then they are due some respect, mostly because of the qualification. They have this qualification. Nowadays, of course, because there's not so much qualification, there's some problems. There's brahmanas and are respected by the other classes and so on. So, this whole organization, as we were talking other times, the whole system of Varnashrama is that this whole structure, the point is that elderly gurus will teach others how to engage in serving Krishna. That's the whole point. So the whole organization is that there is some gurus in this position, and they will teach others how to serve Krishna. That's all. So fathers should teach their sons about how to serve Krishna, and mothers should. So that's very. So in this position, if there is some guru, then the guru is worthy of proper respect, of course. So in this context, family is very important, but it's important to see, because sometimes there's a structure which has some philosophy behind. And if you take this structure out of context, then it doesn't work anymore. You know, like, it's not useful anymore. You know, like, then usually nowadays you don't have the fathers teaching their children how to chant Hare Krishna. I don't know, my father didn't teach me how to chant Hare Krishna. So in this context, there needs to be some adjustments. So here you have the examples of Bhishma and Drona, who are in the positions in the position of fallen gurus. Of course, it's very complicated how Bhishma got into this position to fight against Krishna and so on. That's a very complicated arrangement, and it's of course it's Bhishma is a pure devotee, so it's just an arrangement to show that no matter who you are, then if you're on the wrong side, you're fighting against Krishna, it's gonna be bad for you. So but Bhishma and Drona, they are very advanced, and they are in the position where they are considered fallen gurus. Because when they tried to disrobe Draupadi, they didn't react. And the other things. So, because they are in these fallen gurus, then there are some actions which are needed. Of course, so in this case, Krishna's desire for some reason is that they should be killed. Of course, in our case, we're not really not expected to kill our fallen gurus. we're not gonna take the bow. Probably we can't even use it. I probably would cut my fingers if I would have to use a bow. So, but we have to reject them in what sense? We have to reject their instructions, which are against Krishna consciousness. It's not that we go to our parents and say, yeah, you didn't teach me about Krishna consciousness, you're not my real father. Okay, wait a minute. No, we should treat them as they are, for what they are. And we should know that if they give us some instructions which go against Krishna consciousness, we don't have to follow these instructions. We can be polite, we can be, yeah, everything. But we have to see who are the real gurus and who are not our real gurus. So this is a very hard thing to do sometimes, because there's some attachment. In this case also, Arjuna is very attached to Bhishma and Drona, because they actually have a very close relationship. So it's very hard for Arjuna to give up this relationship. And of course, in this case, it's quite extreme that he actually has to kill them. Okay, there's some verses where his idea was at least Krishna, maybe you can kill them. That so the point is that there's many gurus we had in our life. It's official and unofficial, and there's many things which we learned from these gurus. And we have to understand who is a real guru, who is a representative of Krishna, and who is not a real guru. And that's Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to distinguish between the two. And also it teaches us that if you have someone who is you're attached to or you got some instruction from them and they are not a real guru, then these instructions should be rejected eventually. This is a bit more than that. Sometimes these instructions, if they are not against Krishna consciousness, if they are against Krishna consciousness, then these instructions should be rejected. If they can be used in Krishna consciousness, then they can be dovetailed with Krishna consciousness. But that's always some trick, some... and of course, specifically about family, usually our family is are some people who are attached to us, which is good, because when we go out and we want to preach, first thing we want to develop is some relationship, which takes quite some time. We want to develop a relationship. And after we develop this relationship, we can preach. We can tell some people, oh, maybe we can try this. First, you develop some connection, some relationship. So this, our family already have this relationship with us. They have some sort of faith in us. Of course, usually because the... traditional, the original way is that parents are the gurus for the children. So it's usually, if you want to, especially if you want to go and preach to your father, then it's usually not gonna work. He's not gonna accept. Because his position naturally is that of guru. Even if he's not qualified guru, then still, you know, he's in the position of guru. So he's usually he's not going to accept. But still, they are going to accept some Krishna conscious things. At least they will accept prasadam. If you go and bring them prasadam, they will accept. So many times these family members, they become devotees because they are connected to some devotees, and even if they don't come, there's this instruction, there's this incident with Prahlad Maharaj. After after Lord Nisimha kills Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj is asking, okay, what can we do about my father? And Lord Nisimha says, because you were born in this family, 21 generations in your family will be liberated. Just because you are born. Of course, this this is talking about Prahlad Maharaj, who is a pure devotee. So actually, even if Hiranyakashipu, who didn't do too much devotional service, and he was not very favorable, but because he was somehow associated with Prahlad Maharaj, he got a benefit. So the many times we think, okay, what can I do for my family? No? What can I do for my family? And the first thing you can do for your family, and it's very practical, is that you become a devotee. A real devotee, a pure. So if you become a devotee, then they will also have some benefit just by becoming a devotee. And of course, if they, if you have friendly relationships and they do some service, then they also they get more and more benefit. So the point is that here Arjuna is giving this argument that family is important. And it's, in a way, it's true, but the family is important if it's used for a spiritual purpose. Otherwise, I mean, there are some duties there, you can do some duties, but it's not so important. And if there are some connections, some relationships there, then the duty towards the family members is to help them become Krishna conscious. There's all these other duties. Yeah, they are there, but they are not so important. And in the text before, in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's described that if you do your duties towards Krishna, then you have no other duty. Because in general, in Vedic culture, it's understood. You have some parents, you have a duty to the parents. You have a duty towards the demigods, who give you sun, light, water, rains, and so on. You have a duty to the sages, who give some knowledge. You have a duty to so many. Yeah, there's so many duties. as soon as you're born, so many duties. But it's also understood that all these persons who do some service for you, they are representative of Krishna. So they are representatives of Krishna, and your ultimate duty, you have to repay that by your service to Krishna. So then if you do your service to Krishna, then you have no other duty. But, of course, there's a but. Because this verse says, he says, anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda and has taken to the path in all seriousness, he says, no, you're okay. You don't have any other duty, but you have to be really serious about it. It's not because the tendency is, okay, I don't have any other duty, so okay, I'm a devotee. No, you have to be a very serious devotee, and otherwise you're in a very risky position, because there's different levels of consciousness, and not doing your duty has to be on a higher platform. Sometimes you have a duty. And in modern society, nobody does their duty. So this is not an advancement. It's not that they are going to make spiritual progress. So if you don't do your lower duties, because you're engaged in a superior duty, then it's a progress. If you just don't do, then you're going down. So that's very important. Yeah. All right. So this Bhishma and Drona, they are gurus, and it's very difficult for Arjuna to act in this situation. He has to reject and kill his gurus, and these difficult situations, they are very good, because they force you to understand things on a deeper level. I was today in Rada Ulica, just stopped the car, got my books and stopped the first person. And I offered him a book, he gave a donation, then I gave him a Bhagavad Gita, and we talked. And he told me that he's just in the process, he was like in this breakdown. He told me he's just breaking up with his girlfriend, and he looked devastated, and he told me a few times, I hope that these books can do something to help me. so he was really in a bad shape, you know, like, and it's good, it's very good. Most of the people approach spiritual life when they are in this kind of situations. Usually people don't learn, so when they suffer a bit, then they learn that they're like in this mood, okay, now we really have to find some solution. So this is very good. Of course This person was lucky enough that I was there and I could offer him a Bhagavad Gita and some solutions. And I mean, now it's up to him if he will take it. But being in a complicated situation is not bad. It will just, it's just it's an opportunity. As they say that you have to dig deeper, find a different solution. And of course, here Arjuna, he has this very good. He has a good luck. he's lucky that he has Krishna. And because he has Krishna there, then he's able to find a solution. But also in this regard, it's important to see that after Arjuna's arguments, first answers from Krishna is not very. There's no instructions from Krishna. Arjuna says, gives his argument, and in the beginning of the second chapter, first thing Krishna says, it's like some mild slap. Arjuna, it's not very intelligent what you're saying there. So it's like a friend. You know, like, yeah, it's a bit stupid what you're saying, but okay. And only after, when Arjuna actually surrenders and he understands that, I'm in Maya. I'm in a bad position. I cannot solve this problem by my own strength, by my own power. So I, Krishna, now please tell me seriously what's the problem and how can I solve him. And then after that, Krishna starts giving the instructions. This is a very important part in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna and the spiritual guides, like spiritual masters. By spiritual masters, we speak by gurus. We speak about Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. It's not just the Diksha Guru. It's not just one guru. Okay, this is my guru, and. We have many gurus, many devotees who are more advanced than us, and we can learn from them. But and usually the gurus will not tell you too much unless you ask for it. You have to be sincerely searching for an answer. They usually will not come and say, "Yeah, you're in Maya. This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem." No, experience is you have to ask for it, and you have to be open for it. And then as soon as you understand, so that's this position of Arjuna is the position we are all in many times, you know, like maybe not all, but yeah, we're many times that we're in this position that we have some difficulties, we don't know how to solve them, and we need to find a solution. And we don't know how to find a solution. So then the solution is that you find a guru and you ask, so what's the problem? What should I do? That's it. And even and it's not just once. This surrender is not I surrendered once when I first chanting Hare Krishna. And then I don't need to surrender anymore. It's again and again. And you should never think that, okay, now I'm done. Now I'm saved. I was on Monday in Kamnik, and I went to this place, and there was this lotus, it's not a lotus, but some sort of a lotus outside. So I just went in. And I saw that people were acting a bit strangely. But, you know, you go to these smaller cities, there's no people, so you have to go in all the shops, all the stores, or you just go in and they say, "Hi, I'm here." And so this, I went inside this, and I saw that people are a bit. There's some strange people there. I was like, all right. I tried to find the most normal there, someone who seemed to be part of the, you know, like people. And I was like, oh, hello, hi. And they was like, do you know what this is? I was like, I have no idea what what this place is. Oh, this is a place for people with mental problems. Oh, all right. All right, okay, good. And I told her, eventually, we all have mental problems. And she looked at me too. And then I gave her a book. She said, we don't have money here. Like, okay, some small books I can give you. No? So I gave her some books, and said, these books should help solve mental problems. And then I thought, okay, good. this lady thought that these people who she was working with, they have mental problems, and she doesn't have. So then I was thinking also that probably I'm also thinking that these people have mental problems and this lady has mental problems and that I don't have. And then I realized that probably I have some mental problems myself. Because that's why I'm here in the material world. So the point is that we should always be in this mood that we don't know. We actually don't know. And we need some senior devotees, some gurus, some diksha gurus, shiksha gurus, who can tell us what's our problems and how to fix it. And we should be we should be open for that. We should be ready to accept that maybe I don't know. And also in this section, you can see that Arjuna has some philosophy. He's speaking very nice things, but obviously by his reactions, you can see that he's not in a proper state of consciousness. So also, in our case, we can sometimes we can see that, okay, I know some things, but am I in the best consciousness? Am I thinking of Krishna always? No. So maybe there's some room for improvement. Okay. So here, long story short, here Arjuna has this attachment for family, which stands in the way of his service to Krishna. Eventually, he's not becoming Krishna. He's not surrendering to Krishna because he has his family attachment, but because he's acting in a proper way, and he understands that he cannot solve this problem by himself, and he surrenders to Krishna. Eventually, he will fix it. So that's this. End of first chapter and beginning of second chapter is talking about this principle that we might have our philosophy, but we cannot fix things without accepting a proper guru in a proper state. All right, so I'll stop here. Maharaj, if you want to add something. Okay, there's some questions, comments, concerns. All right, thank you so much. Rantara Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.